This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show! Let's have some fun! On a Thursday with big things happening in the world today, we're going to have a discussion about personnel being policy. This has to do with the government and the workers and the things we're discovering in there. Yes, we of course will discuss the budget that's making its way through Congress. We'll tackle a bit of that, I should say. Selena Zito is going to join us next hour to discuss, are the American people, the norms, we're not talking about you, the norms, are they happy? Are they unhappy? What do they think of the presidency so far? Looks like we're closing in on a deal in Ukraine. That's going well, apparently. Doge continues to cut some money. We'll discuss that. A Democrat thinks they're going to keep losing forever until they change one thing. All that, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's talk about personnel is policy. Personnel is policy. You've heard that, no doubt, no matter how old you are, you've heard that. And you get it. It's not like it's a complicated process. The people you bring into your company, to your organization, to implement your vision, they're not something, they're everything. If you have great ones, well, you're gonna move forward the way you want to go. If you have bad ones, you're not. Chick-fil-A, of all places, I'll bring up Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a great example of this. You ever eaten at Chick-fil-A? Most people have. If you haven't, you should know. The customer service for a fast food restaurant is, honestly, it's a bit disconcerting. It's so nice. Yeah, good point, Chris. For regular restaurants, you go to a fast food restaurant normally, whatever that may be. McDonald's, T-Bell, Jack in the Box, Burger King, I don't care. Look, I eat at all these places too. What are you normally going to get? Well, you're normally going to get the 16-year-old, half the time he's high, screws up your order, rude, just kind of a moron. And what? Why? Well, entry-level job, that's who's going to hire a 16, 17-year-old that's just kind of... That's how it's generally going to shake out. And yet, from seemingly the same pool of potential employees, you know, you can have, I have one pretty close to me. I have a Taco Bell. It's like 2 blocks away from the Chick-fil-A down where I live. The Taco Bell, which I love too. Again, I'm not ripping on it. Morons. Top to bottom. I've never dealt with anyone in there who wasn't a moron and or a convict. 2 blocks away, Chick-fil-A, you drive up. Hello, how can I help you? My pleasure. Yes, we'll get right on that. Oh, yeah, everybody is polite and professional. How does this happen? Is it just training? No, it's not just training. That's part of it, yes. Chick-fil-A is famous for training. Another part of it is Chick-fil-A, they only hire polite kids. Chick-fil-A, they might just ask you, hey, where do you go to church? Tell me about your parents. because Chick-fil-A understands no matter what the training is, if they fill up their restaurant with a bunch of put together kids, maybe they're in sports, maybe they're in Boy Scouts, maybe they're in the leading a church group, maybe you fill up your restaurant with a bunch of put together young people, eventually your restaurant is going to be known for politeness and customer service. And everyone knows it now. There are people joke that you drive to Chick-fil-A, get your oil changed. It's a joke, but that's the kind of service you could expect. Personnel is policy. Now, I want let's make this about the government because that's obviously where we're going here. Do you remember what I said about the United States military under the Biden presidency with all the insane commie garbage that we were having to drown in every single day out of the military? Every day we wake up and there's a new pride march on this Air Force base, and there's a gay Kevlar helmet on the Marines, and then remember the ad we were talking about, the U.S. Army ad? I've played it for you a million times. I'm so happy I joined the Army. My two moms are thrilled. I used to march for justice. Hey, oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms.
I also marched for equality.
Yeah, okay, we got the idea. But you remember what I used to tell you during the Biden presidency when this stuff would come out day after day and you're banging your head off the desk and you're, my son just joined and he's got all this crap. And I used to tell you, they're not destroying the military, because that was a common thing to say on the right. They're destroying the military. They're wrecking it. They're destroying it. And I said, they're not destroying the military. They're building a military, a new military for a new enemy. And that enemy is you. They're building a military. They're recruiting these kinds of people on purpose, because these are the kinds of people who will attack you, your church, your home, your school, your belief system without a second thought. Building a military. The belief that personnel is policy may be something you agree with and maybe something you believe in all the way. Well, I'm here to tell you something beyond a shadow of a doubt. The communist believes in it. The communist knows personnel is policy. And so maybe in the past few years, you have felt attacked by your own government. You felt like the federal government has turned its guns against you. They have decided you, the patriotic American, are the enemy. You're an enemy of the state. You should be thrown in prison. You should be hurt. Have you felt that way? Have you felt like the government thinks about you like that? Of course you have, because you have two eyes and two ears. You can see. But why has it felt like that? Because it's true. But why is it true? Well, you're getting information out now about the kind of people the communists have been recruiting into the federal government. And they are people who think you are their mortal enemy. We brought this up. It's Christopher Rufo's reporting, but about the filthy, I'm not going to go into details again because it's too gross, the disgusting, degenerate chat room stuff out of the NSA. Oh, that it wasn't. I hope you didn't think that was just for the NSA. We have leaks from CIA officials where we have their private chats laughing and joking about Pat Robertson dying. Ah, ha, ha, he's finally gone. Woo! We have chat after chat after chat talking about, look, because the show is for kids, I can't even give you the PG version of how disgusting and despicable the things these people talk about are. But why? How did this happen? How did we get an NSA, a CIA, an FBI full of all these degenerate freaks? Well, we recruited them on purpose. Not we, of course. The communists recruited them on purpose. Did you think the FBI set up recruiting booths at pride parades just for funsies? The communists recruited these kinds of people into every part of our government, because these are the people who will attack you and your faith and your family and your children without end. They have been recruited on purpose into this federal government because personnel is policy. And so as you've been looking around over the past few years and you're thinking to yourself, what in the world? This country has turned into freaking Sodom and Gomorrah. They take my money and we're funding sex changes in Guatemala and my own central intelligence agencies after me. Wait a minute. The NSA did what? The FBI did what? What in the world happened? How did this happen to my government? Your government was filled up by a bunch of dirty cultural commie freaks. That's why people who hate you. That's why. Headline: House committee shockingly reveals IRS tax leaks under Biden were five times worse than originally reported. Remember when they told you some dirtball in the IRS leaked 70,000 people's tax information? Remember when they told you that? Yeah, wait, it wasn't 70,000. It was 405,000. How in the world can that happen? How in the world can the IRS employ somebody who hates you so much they'll seek out the right and leak their information online? All you have to do is go to a Pride event, snatch up the dude with a pink feather boa, give him an IRS employee badge, and he'll attack your church like the fire of a thousand suns without end. But there's a lesson in this for all of us, for you and me. Let's talk about that lesson in just a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about caring for widows and orphans. We are commanded to care for widows and orphans. It was not presented to us as an option. Hey, if you feel like it, take care of some widows. If you have time, commanded. That's what Tunnel to Towers does. Have you read these stories? How many stories have I read you? Tunnel to Towers, some cop gets ambushed by a dirtball. Wife, kids left behind, left with nothing. Tunnel to Towers comes in, pays off their house. Gold Star family. Dad's gone. Tunnel to Towers comes in, pays off the house. Catastrophically injured veteran, lost his legs in Afghanistan. Tunnel to Towers comes in, builds him a smart home so he can shower without his wife. Tunnel to Towers does this with your $11 a month. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day, and I almost forgot. In fact, I was just about to brain fart it again, but I have a family thing I have to go do. Either way, I have some travel I have to do on Friday. Tomorrow is going to have to be asked Dr. Jesse. Thursday kind of came out of the blue. It came out of the blue. Either way, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, and you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com and send them in right now. Don't wait. Now, back to what we were talking about personnel as policy and the lesson for us. One final word on that. We have IRS agents that are releasing our tax information, NSA, CIA, FBI, talking about the most depraved things, laughing about us dying. How do you think the FBI was so willing to go infiltrate the church and look for enemies? Because we filled up our government with these people. But this isn't really about them. It's about us. And I'll use them, actually, as one more example of that. This is from the Epic Times. Teachers union sues the education department over anti-DEI policy. Why, though? The American Federation of Teachers. Now, DEI, those words, I know you get them, but even for the people who don't really get them, those words are unpopular now. I realize in commie circles they still like them, but for normies, they don't like those words. Those words are bad. Those words are ugly. Why would the American Federation of Teachers fight so hard to keep DEI? because, as we discussed, they understand if you can groom a child, if you can groom a child in hatred of America, hatred of himself, hatred of his parents, hatred of white people, hatred of Christianity, hatred of any of these things, if you can create that inside a young person, then at the end of that, you will have a loyal foot soldier who will fight like a demon on behalf of your revolution for years and years and years, maybe for the entirety of their lives. They will fight on your behalf. If you create them early, just turn that kid into an angst-ridden little commie savage early, he's yours forever. Now, the lesson is actually for us in this. We have to do the same when it comes to our schools, when it comes to our kids. And we're going to move off this and talk about some budget stuff and things like that in a moment. But when it comes to our schools, when it comes to our kids, we are doing great things at attacking the DEI, at pointing it out, at showing up at school boards. So I don't want to act like we're failing or falling or any. I'm not saying that at all. We're getting better. We're better than we've ever been, and you should feel good about that. I get emails from you all the time. I ran for school board. I'm running again. We'll tell you, we're doing good. But when we get into these schools, it's not enough. Remember, it's not enough just to get the dirty commie learning out of the school. We must get our values into the school. We shouldn't be afraid of what we believe, and we shouldn't be afraid to insist that children are taught what we believe. And for your information, I am actually not discussing Republican politics. I actually don't want history teachers telling their students, make sure you vote Republican one day. That's not what I'm saying at all, and that's not necessary at all. If I'm a communist, I don't have to stand up in front of my class and teach my kids to go vote Democrat to turn them into communists. I just have to teach them how to hate the country, how to hate their parents, how to hate what is good. If I can do that, then voting for Democrat will simply be a guarantee. That comes on the back end. If I presented a 25-year-old and that human being hated his parents, hated his mom, hated his dad, hates his country, hates the church, would you say that person is likely to vote Democrat? Of course. So vice versa. We should be teaching about the greatness of America in our schools. The love of country, the love of free markets, what is good. We should be teaching these things to kids in schools. We just need to take all that out of it. No, let's build our own personnel. Personnel is policy. It works for us as well. If we want a country full of patriots who want what is best for this country and will do what is best for this country, then all we need to do is teach our values to the next generation. It's not enough just to stop their values from being taught. It's not enough just to tear down the Black Lives Matter flag and the tranny flag and all that other stuff. We must teach our values. We must. And that is what we have to focus on. Personnel is policy, and personnel are built. Built. Let's focus on the building. Now, for the building and the tearing down, there are budget things we have to discuss. But before we do that, speaking of schools, education, don't you appreciate Hillsdale College more than you ever have before? As we've been introduced to all the endless filth in the university system. I mean, you remember, I wrote the book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto. The university chapter is jaw-dropping, wasn't it? It was staggering. We have domestic terrorists teaching kids in this country. And then there's that shining city on a hill, Hillsdale College. But the thing is, I'll never go to Hillsdale. I never had the grades to get in. I wouldn't be able to make it. So what do? I want to learn from Hillsdale too. I want my sons to learn from Hillsdale. Well, Hillsdale, they give us all that option, and they don't even charge us for it. They have more than 40 free online courses, meaning you can sit down with your husband, with your wife, and learn a little something. Enjoy yourself. They're wonderful classes. More importantly, and I do stress this, more importantly, speaking of the kids, you know, you can sit down with your 8-year-old and go through a constitution course from Hillsdale at no cost. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. That's where you go to enroll. There's no cost. It's cake to get started. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. I'm so excited. We have Selena Zito coming up an hour from now. You know that she was with Trump. I think she was like 10 feet away from Trump or something like that the day he got shot in Butler. Selena Zito is going to join us an hour from now. We'll ask her about the norms. Normas, are they happy with this administration? Are they mad? Are they full of angst? What's going on with all that? So that will be a good time. And also, don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. Now, let's talk about money. It's always a good time. Let's talk about money, the budget, the debt, the everything else. First, just the basics, for those who may not know. Remember, everyone comes to their political journey. Don't I sound like some hippie freak with crystals? Everyone gets to the right place in their political journey at a different time. I'll put it to you that way. So maybe you're just new to all this. Inflation is bad because of government spending. Let me say that again. Inflation is bad because of government spending. Period. End of story. Washington, they spend way more than they take in. So they end up borrowing all kinds of money. They end up printing all kinds of money. And during all this, the value of your dollar goes down. Period. That's how inflation works. We don't make that connection oftentimes until you get involved in politics or start boning up on economy things. But every time we turn on the news and we see that there's a new $1 trillion bill making its way through Congress, oftentimes, even if we get mad, we don't necessarily apply it to us, right? The Inflation Reduction Act is actually a great example of this. That ridiculous $1 trillion greenie bill that had nothing to do with inflation. We were mad about it. You were mad and I was mad. $1 trillion handout to all Democrat donors. Ah, we're mad. I'm mad. Everyone's mad. But maybe you didn't personalize it. Hey, I'm mad they're spending my money and sending it to some solar panel company in China. But maybe we didn't make it about us. But that's part of the reason your dollar doesn't go as far. Every time Congress passes a massive bill, you get poorer, meaning the spending power of your dollar goes down, that's inflation. That's why we have it. It's spending, government spending. Okay? So let's talk about the budget. It's working its way through Congress, and it will pass. Just know it will pass. I mean, it may be passing right now for all I know. It's going to pass. Last night, while you were sleeping, or I don't know, I think it was like 9:30 Eastern time, maybe you were still awake, but last night, after the show was over, the budget passed through the House of Representatives. This is not a final budget, keep in mind. What passed last night is not what's going to end up landing on Donald Trump's desk. It has to go through the Senate, the reconciliation, all these kind of nerdy legal terms. But for all intents and purposes, what passed last night, the bones of it, that is what's going to land on Trump's desk, and he will sign it. Now, first, let's talk about Trump, what he wants, and his angle of it. Trump, to his credit, seems to want to balance the budget and cut spending in ways he did not want to do during his first 4 years. People have different philosophies on debt. This is one of those old arguments that's as old as time. Trump, how he's operated businesses and whatnot, is just one of those guys. Oftentimes, these guys are the most wealthy guys. He's never stressed debt. No, if I have to go take out that $500 million loan, in the end, we'll work it out, cross some T's, dot some I's, we'll make enough money. And that's kind of how he operated the country the first 4 years. He just was never stressed about the debt at all. Very clearly, that day has passed, and Trump sees the eye-popping numbers in our debt, our national debt, and he knows what that means for us, and he wants to make some changes. He's saying things like this.
We want to balance a budget. We want to have a balanced budget within a reasonably short period of time, meaning maybe by next year or the year after, but maybe even sooner than that.
Could. I'm glad he's talking like that. So he also has to balance this. Trump wants to cut spending, but he has to balance this portion of it. He wants to do at least two really, really, really big things. I you know what? I'll make it three really, really big things that he needs money for, essentially. He wants to secure the border, and he wants more money for that. He wants to rebuild the United States Navy, and he wants to have some sort of a tax reduction. You heard him campaign on it. No taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security, no taxes on this. But I'll really simplify it and say those are the three things he wants done. When it comes to the border, that's obvious. I don't have to sit and explain that to you. You get what that means. When it comes to the Navy, maybe you're looking at the current Navy. Maybe you're a nerd like I am, and you look at how many ships we have versus how many China has and whatnot. And maybe you see the number, and you say to yourself, why are we sinking all this money into the U.S. Navy? We have the biggest Navy, most powerful Navy, but why even bother? Well, our Navy is old. Old. Ships from the 80s, that doesn't necessarily sound old because it's not ancient history. I mean, for Pete's sake, I was born in the 80s. It's not ancient history. But this bears repeating something we've talked about before. To be at a disadvantage technologically with your Navy, it might mean more than any other kind of combat when it comes to putting you at a major, major, major disadvantage. It is significant disadvantage. And now, if we're talking ground combat, if I have an M16, that's actually what I carried in the Marine Corps, that's a Vietnam-era rifle, an M16. Okay? You can have your opinion about it. I never minded mine. Mine was pretty old, but it was okay. It needed cleaned a lot. Very accurate weapon. Okay, whatever. But since then, they moved on. But by the time I got out, they were moving on to the M4. Well, that's a superior weapon. It is. But if I have 50 guys with M16s and you have 50 guys with M4s, that's still anybody's game. Yes, their weapon is better, but that's anybody's game. They have a better rifle, but we'll see how it shakes out. Anyone can still win that. Now, when it comes to ships, and this just isn't modern, this isn't just modern day ships. It seems to be, if you read the books, historically, it's always been this way. If your ship is the ship that was advanced 50 years ago, but now it's kind of old, and you're squaring off against the modern ship, the new and improved version, you are gone. Gone. I heard somebody say once, and I've heard other experts back this up, that if you took a World War I Navy, now go look at World War I ships. They're awesome. They're huge. And look at these guns. And oh my gosh. And you took a World War I Armada. Let's call it 20 ships. And it squared off against a World War II Armada. 20 ships. You know, battleship against battleship. Destroyer against destroyer. And they squared off. It is very likely the World War I Armada would not sink a single World War II ship. And there's a chance they wouldn't land a shot. All 20 of them gone, swept off of the water. That's how critical it is to be state-of-the-art when it comes to your Navy. And ours is really, really old. I ran up against the clock because I ran my fat mouth too long. We will continue on this budget talk in just a moment. Before we continue with that budget talk, you know what bothers me? Is what a stubborn idiot I can be at times. Do you ever ignore pain? Just decide you're going to tough it out? Happens to me. Wife sees me limping or something like that. What's wrong? I'm always, oh, I'm okay. That's fine. Get that from my dad. I'm fine. Then don't worry about it. I'm fine. Why do we do that? Especially when Relief Factor is there to take away that daily pain that nags you now. All bodies break down over time. We are flesh and blood. These things are not made to last forever. Relief Factor is there to make it easier. That neck pain, that back pain. Stop taking things to mask it and stop being like me and just trying to ignore it. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's a supplement you take every day. And it builds up in your body. The longer you take it, the better it works. Try it. All I'm asking you to do is try it. That foot pain, that back pain, you might be pain-free in 3 weeks. 3 week quick start is $19.95. Isn't that worth a shot? ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, so you need to email your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're having a budget talk about the budget, the bill. Mike Johnson got up last night, said we got the votes.
Speaker, do you have the votes?
Yep.
How much work are you going to have to do out there on the floor to make sure you can actually...
Yeah, whatever. You got the votes. You got the thing passed. Okay, so I'm explaining first, in case you're just now joining us, first I'm explaining this huge bill that is going to get passed. It's going to land on Trump's desk. It's going to sign it. Trump is going to sign it. He's already called it a big, beautiful bill. This is the bill he wanted. He pushed for this. This is what he wanted. This is what's going through, and I'm explaining why. First, Trump has three gigantic things he wants to do. It's tax cuts on things like, you know, tax on tips, border security, and rebuilding the Navy. I just explained why that is important as far as the Navy goes. The taxes are self-explanatory. The border is self-explanatory. Our Navy is old, and China's is new. China, you know, they're always on the top of Donald Trump's mind. How often have you heard him say China? He cares very much about competing with China. China's dropping new ships in the water seemingly every day. The United States of America has a Navy that is old and is rusty. And Trump wants it rebuilt. And ships cost a fortune. A fortune. Now, that's not all that's in this bill. What I just did was explain to you why Trump wants this. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, yeah, well, can't we just do those things? without this massive bill, and I would agree with you, that's what I want too. I don't like this bill at all, full disclosure. I think it's ridiculous. But presidents normally get one big one. That is kind of the rule in presidential politics. You get elected, people are riding high, you have all kinds of political capital, and in general, you get one big fat bill through the Congress. That's traditionally how it works. For Barack Obama, that was Obamacare. He got one big fat one. Then never really passed another significant piece of legislation. Joe Biden, exact same thing. Got elected, had some political capital. He got the Inflation Reduction Act. One big fat one. Didn't really pass anything else of any significance. Donald Trump, with what he wants to do, remember, as we've said, he wants to do really, really big things. He's a guy thinking big. He wants to do things like rebuild the Navy, cut taxes on tips, things like that. And I'm sure he views this as his best shot at getting some big things done. If you're curious why Donald Trump, who's talking about balancing the budget, would put his stamp of approval on such a massive bill, that's why. That's the explanation from his angle. Now, on the other side of it, well, Thomas Massie came out and said this.
Look, wait, let me, their own numbers. If the Republican plan passes under the rosiest assumptions, which aren't even true, we're going to add $328 billion to the deficit this year. We're going to add $295 billion to the deficit the year after that. And $242 billion to the deficit after that, under the rosiest assumptions. Why would I vote for that? If the only way they get to this magic thing where it's not going to kill our country is 5 years from now, they imagine that 2.5% growth accumulates. And that even right here, they say they're going to cap discretionary spending. You think we're going to cap discretionary spending and then spend at the rate of inflation after that? That has never happened. So their assumptions are wrong. But even if you take their assumptions at face value, they told us in there they're going to increase the deficit in 2025 by $328 billion. And I've been here long enough. I've been here 12 years. So I've seen a 10-year plan or two come all the way to 10 years. Under Boehner, we had these 10-year plans. Under Ryan, we had these 10-year plans. Anything past the third year never happens.
Okay, so it's a lot of money. And the truth is, look, this headline here from Sean Fleetwood at The Federalist, he really kind of sums up something I've talked about several times this week. The headline is, Doge's work is meaningless unless the GOP cuts spending. Now, I wouldn't go that far necessarily, because Doge, in denying the communists money for their revolution, they are doing great things in order to shake up the communist foundation in this country. So I wouldn't say it's meaningless. But as it pertains to inflation, to the cost of the things in your life, which are directly tied to the national debt, cutting $20 million for trannies in Guatemala is not near enough. What we need, what we must have, is a GOP with the courage to do things that are unpopular. But I can't even put all this on them. Because the truth is, it's not just on them. It's not just on the House or the Senate or Trump or anything like that. And yeah, they're all going to have to own part of that. There's no question. The truth is, this lands on us, you and me. And here's why. Tell me. You follow politics. We talk politics every day, you and me. Tell me the name of the last politician who lost his reelection bid because he spent too much money. Anyone? Is this thing on? Anyone? You can't. I can't. No, I realize politicians have lost their seats. Maybe they pushed amnesty. That'll cost you your seat. Maybe you got caught up in some sort of corruption. That'll cost you your seat. Maybe you said something dumb. Or that'll cost. Yeah, all these things will cost you your seat. But I'm talking about the focal point of his reelection. His opponent ran ad after ad after ad saying, that guy spent too much money. And the voters in that district or in that state said, you know what? Yeah, I don't like that Washington spending. Let's vote him out. In my 43 years on this planet, that has never happened one time. Not once. The American people, they're mad about inflation, but they're not mad about government spending. And that's insane. And until that changes, inflation continues. I'm moving on. I want to talk. Maybe we'll get to some realignment of the world stuff. I want to get to some emails before I do that. But first, I want to get to your puppy. Little bit embarrassed. My sister, Mickey, got to town today. And Fred remembered Mickey. Of course, he sucks up to Mickey the way he sucks up to everyone else on the planet. And Fred flat out bum rushed her when she walked in the door. Didn't even let her hug me first before he demanded all the attention in the world. This is the kind of dog I had. Just an attention freak. And I don't know what's wrong with him. But we do love him. She loves him. Everyone loves him. Shoot, you love him at this point. And I love him so much that I want him around for as long as humanly possible. I try not to even think about the day that I know will come one day, the day we all dread where we have to put our dogs down. I've put many down. It's awful. Awful. But I'm going to sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food every single meal, and it's going to give Fred to me longer. I might get another couple years out of him courtesy of rough greens. Do you want that for your dog? 833-33-MY-DOG gives you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.